Steve and Jill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about what makes a market mailable. This is a very popular question.
Makes market mailable. That's a lot. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, makes market mailable. All
right. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. This is from a Mike M, but not the Mike M that we talked to yesterday, just to point that out. So a different Mike M. He wrote, "Hi all, has anyone taken a property through probate in Arizona? The first property I ever bought a while ago without title, I am now trying to sell through title. One problem, the wife and the husband are on the title, not as JTROS, which is joint tenants with rights of survivorship. And the husband is now deceased. The title company is requiring us to go through probate to get him off the title. I'm looking for some advice on the quickest way to get this done. $11,000 is at stake on this deal. Anyone have experience with this in Arizona? Thanks, Mike."
Yes, Jill and I have a tremendous amount of experience in Arizona. And specifically with this, I'm going to direct you to an attorney named Mark Manoil, M-A-N-O-I-L. He's an expert at this stuff. He's the tax lien expert in Arizona, and tax liens are pretty prevalent. Every taxing jurisdiction from a state standpoint has a different opinion on how to go about the situation. It's a very, very popular situation in California. You get a death certificate, you file a piece of paper, an affidavit, and you send it in to the county recorder, and you are done. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to undo this in California. Arizona, totally different situation. In fact, the truth is we have stacks of deals situations in our database like this that we have chosen not to pursue for this exact reason.
Right.
There's two ways to approach this. You can go through an adverse possession situation if you have a good relationship with the wife, the surviving wife. Was it
I don't remember who
died. The survivor.
I think so.
Or you can go through this probate situation. Both are going to cost you in excess of $1,000. One may or may not be a little bit more expensive. For $11,000, it's worth it. But I'll tell you that the vast majority of people who have gone through this and who are smart make this their business model. They go through this adverse possession slash in the situation of maybe probate. First of all, don't listen to the title agent. Whatever their knowledge of this is not, they're not a lawyer. A title agent has been instructed by their supervisor to close 30 deals a month, right, or some number like that. This is a good news for them because they don't have to close this deal. They can move on to the next one and hit their number.
Yeah.
So while they're not incorrect, they're certainly not the
authority on everything.
Exactly, Joe.
Yeah. So I have a lot of experience on that one.
Try to contact Mark Manoil. I think he got elected to, I think he's a state treasurer now or some version of that. Actually, I think he really is a state treasurer now.
Really?
Yeah. Just like your brother used to be.
Wow. That's kind of funny.
Joe's little brother used to be the state treasurer in Arizona.
Yeah.
For what seemed like 20 minutes.
It was like 2 years.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. When he took a new job with NASA.
Mark will probably not be able to handle this case for you, but he'll know exactly who to talk to or his staff will.
Mm-hmm.
Today's topic, what makes a market mailable? This is the meat of the show.
You have to really pause and say that correctly.
Jill broke this topic down into two responsibilities, hers and mine.
Exactly.
And yours goes first, Jill. So when we look at a market, what do you look at?
Okay, so I thought my side of the sheet on choosing a market that is worthy of sending mail, which would be mailable, I look at it like how good it is as far as doing my due diligence and sales. So like I like to think of it like that. So when I'm picking a market, you do your part, I do my part, right, kind of thing. So what's a good market? One is maybe they have a good county GIS. I hope it's supported in parcel fact. I can get copies of vesting deeds in Title Pro 24/7. I test all these things. I can make sure I can get them on the phone. What if I have a question for the county? Are they a big enough county that I can call planning and zoning and ask them a question and somebody's there to answer the phone, kind of thing? Those are all kinds of things that are going to come up when the offers are coming back and I'm doing my due diligence. I don't want to be you know, hitting my head against the wall going, shoot, I shouldn't have picked this county. It was too hard to get these answers. Darn, I would have mailed somewhere else. So that's part of it. And then also, I look at it for the sales side of it. Like, are things moving in this county, you know, kind of thing? What's the prices in this county? Is it meet my buying criteria in this county? Are there not too many properties for sale, but enough properties for sale? Things like that. Is it place? Is it a good place that people want to buy property? You know, is it going to be easy for me to write a good description and promote this property and get the word out? So those are kind of the things that. So really, it's all focused around my due diligence and sales. So now you want to talk about your part.
First of all, this works in every market. Right. Buying or selling, sending unsolicited offers to purchase property works in every single market, every zip code, every county, and every micro subdivision market that you can dream up. It's all a matter of price and execution tactics. Right. So now we got that off the table.
Right.
There are things that trip me, it can really concern me if I review a market as a candidate. Number one is the number of properties for sale and how long they've been for sale, what we call days on market. If there's a lot of property for sale, and it's been and they've been on the market for a long time, move to the next market.
Right.
You know, unless you're an expert and you can like surgically go in there and buy properties where you want, which sometimes we do, more with houses than land. You can find this information through Redfin.com or, more importantly, Realtor.com. Those both have great interfaces that show you almost in real time exactly what's for sale in that market and what it's going for, whether it's pending. The websites are getting better and better, the data piece and all that. So there's a lot of tech available that wasn't even available 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And it's always getting better. So that's a really good news for all of us. What makes a market really, really mailable? This is what do I look for from a land perspective and really from a housing perspective? I look for consistency, pricing consistency, price per square foot for houses, and a price per acre per square foot, or price per acre for rural vacant land. And when you can find some consistency and the days on market for the stuff that's there is not real long. It's a short days on market. There's not a lot of property for sale. And there's stuff that is for sale is relatively consistent. Right. You nailed it. And more often than not, probably 80% of the markets that I test work.
Right.
So the other thing too, what Jill mentioned, and I need to be, this is a misconception that happens a lot. When you're new, you think every county is equal, IT equal. So you take a county, a really urban county like Los Angeles or like Phoenix, the LA County or Maricopa County, and you look at their websites and it's just a big joy to be in there. Yeah. Every question that you have, including documents, investing deeds, bang, 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 it's all organized and professional and it's like, well, this is great. Why didn't I get in here before? Well, then you go to a rural market in Montana, or I'll pick on Cochise County, Arizona, who just revamped their website really, really recently, and it has nothing there. There's one sheet, and you go there and it says, "Yep, welcome to Cochise County. See ya."
Yeah. Here's our address. Here's our phone number. Have a nice day.
That's
the
what
weather,
Jill means.
And the weather today. It'll show that the temperature in Cochise today.
And what Jill means is make sure they have, if you get somebody who's calling you back, make sure the county's got, you know, the recorder's phone number. You know, there's counties in Arkansas that are not computerized yet.
Yep.
And they have phone answering machines that
West
only
Texas
work like
too.
3 or 4 hours a day, three or four days a week. So those counties are still, if you live in those counties, by the way, they're untouched.
Yeah.
And you know Sally, the recorder, you can make a fortune.
And you know when she's coming back from maternity leave and you can get stuff done, you're going to kill it. Isn't that funny? We've had those. No, nothing's going to get recorded till next week because of so-and-so is gone. Really? Yep.
We've had title companies in urban, we had a situation recently.
What?
Where there's a, you know, somebody said we're not, everybody's out of the office because it's a holiday. We'll record it next week.
Yeah, thanks. We'll get to it when we get to it.
That kind of stuff makes the back of Jill's
head blow off. Oh, the title agent one. Yeah, I did that one. Yeah, that made me mad. Like, we ran out of time on Friday. You're sitting on my money. What the heck?
The other thing, too, I don't think we mentioned it is you might find a great market, but make sure that RealQuest covers it. RealQuest covers 99% of the county. Right. 3,144 counties, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they have that they cover the county.
Right.
There's like, I don't know, it's less than 100.
Right.
And they're working on it.
Make sure they're in Parcel Fact, because you want to be able to, when the calls come in, you want to make sure you can quickly look it up and get all the information you need right there and make a quick decision. So, and there's so much out there. The counties, well, you just brought up a good point. The counties that are the not covered, don't try to crack that market. There's plenty of other counties that are supported and are good this way that no one's really working in.
Yeah.
And we want you to be there, you know. And that's one of the things I just talked about somebody about this the other day, too. They were kind of asking me, the secret list, right? This, like you said, it does work everywhere. You know, it really does. We're here to teach you and show you philosophy, like this, even this show. I'm not here to tell you, go here, go here, go here, go here, go here, price it like this. We'll see you in 2 months. Let me know how it goes. No, we're here teaching you the whole concept, what we look for, what makes a good county, why we pick one, because we want you to go off and find it in your area, your neck of the woods, and you're going to be off doing some area that we've never heard of, and you're going to be quietly over there killing it and happy for 5 years, you know, just hanging out with that county and three counties around it, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
That's how it goes.
So here's a case study. Let Luna County, New Mexico, which is the exact center point between
Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's Albuquerque on the west. And on the east, it's
Taos or Alamogordo.
It doesn't matter. It's like a truck stop type county.
Okay.
You know, it's on a major freeway between two cities.
Shoot,
it's a midpoint, so a lot of overnight truckers stay there.
Yeah.
On the freeway part of it, anyway. Anyway, in the 70s, a company called Horizon went in there and subdivided two massive subdivisions, Deming Ranchettes and Sunshine Valley Ranchettes. So there's thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, of five-acre properties that you can buy for $500 all day long. And if you have an acre, you can put a house on it and retire. There's a lot of people that live there. So on the onset, when you look at it, it's like, this is the greatest thing ever. There's places like this in Florida, too.
Right.
Those two subdivisions, specifically in Luna County, are not good for what we do, even though on the onset, they look great. All the other places in that county, all the acreage and the ranches, and it's a huge county, are fantastic for what we do. So it's not like Luna County's bad. It's just that those subdivisions are overdone.
Right.
They're overexposed for what we do. And it's not just because of our group. It's been going on. This has been going on long, long before even I was in the business.
Exactly.
So it's not that a county's bad. It's maybe that just one subdivision's overdone.
Right.
You know, if you want a rock bottom place to live, go buy two lots next to each other in Deming Ranchettes and have a beautiful life. It's going to cost you next to nothing.
Yeah.
Or buy 10 of them all in a row and have just a beautiful
compound.
Spread and stay off the grid or whatever.
Exactly.
There's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
And I never say stuff like this. There is always a way and always a silver lining in every single market you look in, even though one section might not work or some version of it. Or, you know, let's say maternity leave, Sally's, then you know what? Go there. Go there, find out when she's coming back, and make it work. There's always a way to make this work. It's just a matter of how much we have to put into it.
That's true. That's awesome.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called Scaling Your Real Estate Operation.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Poor
Luna.
No, poor maternity leave Sally.
We should just write all of our stories down about stuff.
That'd be hilarious.
You know, there's a lot of people who have real estate agent stories. We have title agent stories.
Yeah, there's a book right there. That would be a fun reading. I mean, think about how long together our combined real estate experience, the years and the transactions and the stories are, there's a lot there. And you know what? I know that's why everybody's here too. I mean, we're not brand new. We didn't just start this yesterday. Or even a year ago, we've been doing this, you know, and even before we went into Land Academy, we were here doing this business for a very, very, very long time.
30 years.
Yeah.
It's more than that now.
Yeah.
I think.
So crazy. It's good. Wherever you are listening or wherever you are watching, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.